Our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We'll go back there. Just to start with, we're going to go several places in the Bible tonight. But I'll give you just a minute. Genesis chapter number 2, we'll read one verse to get started, verse number 9. But this is a fourth lesson in what we've been studying, seven foundations for godly living, or for healthy living. Seven foundations for healthy living. And this is the fourth lesson. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible said, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And so far in our study, we've looked at the importance of air. We studied about the firmament, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We studied that the second week. And then the third week, we looked at the subject of water, Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden." And we talked about the importance of water. And tonight we're going to begin to look at the subject of food. Food as a foundation for healthy living. And here is the first place that food is mentioned in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 9. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." But that's the first time that you find the word food in the Bible. And what I want to do tonight is just sort of give an introduction. And we're going to study quickly the different diets that you find in the Bible. There's five of them I'm going to give you tonight. Five diets that you find in the Bible. This is just a general overview. And as I was studying about this, I got to thinking about it today, and I didn't take time to study it out. But I believe you would probably find food mentioned in every book in the Bible. I might be wrong about that, but certainly most of the books in the Bible just... And I sat there and just went down through the books of the Bible, and most of them are easy to even think of places that food is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned all the way from Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation. Many, many times you find food, eating, bread mentioned in the Bible. So it's you could spend a long time going over all the different things the Bible has to say about food, but we're going to look at the different diets that are found in the Bible, diets of the Bible. And so if you've got a piece of paper, if you're taking notes, first of all, there's the pre-flood diet. And that just means that what did they eat before the flood? And we find it here in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 9. The pre-flood diet. Genesis 2 and 9. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." And we could go back also into chapter number 1. But what you find out, or what we know about Adam and Eve, they were vegetarians. Well, that means they didn't eat meat. All they ate in the Garden of Eden, they ate fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds, herbs. That's what Adam and Eve ate. And they thrived upon that. Not only Adam and Eve, but their children ate this type of diet. All the way up until after the flood, people were vegetarian. Sometimes this is referred to as the Garden of Eden diet. And if you and I could eat out of the Garden of Eden, we'd be completely satisfied by that. I imagine in my mind that in the millennial reign, food will be like it was in the Garden of Eden. And if you think food, if you think fresh food is good now, wait till we get over there. I mean, God made it to enjoy. And when the Lord was done with creation, he looked on it and he said it was very good. And so the food that God created, it grew out of the ground. And they were vegetarians. They did not eat meat. We'll see this a little bit later. But that's what they ate in the garden, what would come out of a garden. And this Garden of Eden, it wasn't like the garden beside my house with rows and corn and, you know, but this was paradise. I'm sure all those things were there. I know that they were. And Adam, he worked on it. God put him in the garden to keep it and to dress it. But all these things were there in the garden, and they ate a vegetarian diet. Now, there's still people today that eat a Garden of Eden diet or a vegetarian diet. When I came out of the hospital the second time, I asked the doctor as he was dismissing me. He came to see me one more time, and I was being dismissed, and I remember I asked him, I said, is there not something? I'd been in the hospital twice in 1 year with pneumonia. Most of you know that. And I had been very sick that winter. But he came and saw me one more time, and I said, is there not something I could do to boost my immune system, to get better? Could I change my diet? I remember asking him this. Could I change my diet? Could I take some vitamins? Supplements, anything, doctor. Is there anything I could do to regain my health? My immune system was so low at that time, and I'd just gotten sick and been sick all winter long. And I remember he looked at me with this blank look on his face, and he just said, no. There's no. There wasn't no. He said there wasn't nothing I could do to boost my immune system. And you know, as far as I know, that's the last time I ever seen my doctor at that time. I lost total, complete confidence altogether. Even I knew better than that. Surely, to my goodness, there's something that we could do to boost our immune system. And if we're sick, surely there's something we can do to get better. And so from that point on, I never went back. I never called the office. I never went and got my medical records or anything. I don't even know if they're still over there. But that doctor, I never went back to him. But as I think back on it, that is the main reason why I started studying what the Bible has to say about our diet and trying to incorporate some of these things into my life, because I knew if anybody had the answer, God had the answer. And I came across through, and I'm not going to tell all about that, but I came across a ministry called Hallelujah Acres. That's what it's called. And I don't even know if they're still in existence. I suppose that they are, but he was a Baptist preacher. His name is George Malkmus. And he was teaching what they called the Hallelujah Diet, the Garden of Eden Diet. And I followed that strictly for 1 year and followed that Garden of Eden diet. For 1 year of my life, I was a total vegetarian. All I ate was salads and fruit and nuts and just natural things for 1 year. And I mean, not even in your salad dressings, anything processed, just as natural of a diet as a person could have. No meat, no dairy, no sugar, no white flour, no salt, none of that. And I was very strict with that for 1 year. And I bought carrots in a 25-pound bag from the health food store. And I juiced carrots for a year. Run them through a juicer, drank carrot juice, and I turned slightly orange as a result of it. If you drink enough orange or carrot juice, you will turn sort of orange. So if you're wanting to get a natural tan, that's a good way to do it. Just drink a lot of carrot juice, and you'll turn sort of the color of a carrot. And be sort of like Sister Glenda's jacket she's got on. And you'll know that somebody's drinking a whole lot of carrot juice. But through that year, I really believe with all of my heart that helped me regain my health, maybe even saved my life. I don't know. I don't know really how sick I was. They never diagnosed exactly what was wrong, but the Lord used that year to help me regain my health and my immune system. You see, a bad diet and bad habits got me in a bad shape. So a good diet and changing to have better habits that are more healthy, and basically all I was doing was eating a lot of junk food and running all the time. And it just caught up with me as a young man. Well, I changed some of those things. And so that change got me out of a bad situation. So don't let a doctor tell you that there's nothing you can do, all hope's gone. There's always something that you and I can do different that will help us if we'll be wise and find it out. But this pre-flood diet, this vegetarian diet, this was the first and the original diet that God gave to man. God gave this diet to Adam and Eve, and if they had not sinned, they would have lived forever on that diet. So is that a good diet? If I was sick, deathly sick, found myself in that situation again, I would have no problem going right back and doing that again. I believe that's a good course. I wouldn't throw off on people that are vegetarians. Well, you've got the pre-flood diet. We're just quickly going through these and get them in our minds. Second of all, there's the post-flood diet, the diet after the flood. Genesis chapter 9. Go to Genesis chapter 9. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each of these. I'm just going to sort of summarize at the end about all of them. But in Genesis chapter 9, we have the second diet that God gave to man. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. This is after the flood. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Have we heard that before? That's what God told Adam and Eve. And so here's the second command to go out and be fruitful and multiply. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And so here's the second diet that God gave unto man. And what is it? Verse number 3, God said, here's Noah and his sons, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. That's a pretty broad diet, isn't it? Everything. God said, everything that moves, it's meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So what could they eat after the flood? They could eat after the flood everything that they had eaten up to the flood. Even as the green herb. That's what they were used to eating. But now God says, every moving thing, every living creature shall be meat for you. The only restriction was that they couldn't eat the blood. And we find that in verse number 4. But flesh, that's meat, that's a piece of steak, that's a lamb chop, that's whatever flesh of a beast that you can imagine. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And so God said, the only restriction on this diet, you can eat any living, moving creature, but you can't eat the blood, drink the blood with it. That was the only restriction upon Noah's diet. Now, I did notice this as I was studying and reading back before. There was already a distinction between a clean and an unclean animal. And Noah, when he got off the ark, if you look back in chapter 8, verse number 20, the Bible said, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." So Noah had in his mind that there was a clean and an unclean. Now, the Bible doesn't say that God said, the Bible said in chapter 9, every living, moving creature. But I believe from studying this that Noah had in his mind already what was clean and what was unclean. What I'm saying, I don't believe Noah said, "Oh, good, we can have tiger for supper tonight." I believe it's just wouldn't be an appealing thing to me, but now they had, what did they have? I mean, you think about this. The commands of God are not grievous. The flood is over. They get off the ark. What's there? Nothing. There's nothing. There was no gardens. I mean, everything had been destroyed. Everything that they had known before, the whole world has changed. You talk about a worldwide catastrophe, that's what it was. Things that had been are now covered in mud. Everything's turned upside down. There's nothing. So what are they going to eat when they get off the ark? There's no Garden of Eden anymore. There's nothing like that. Everything is starting over. So all they had to eat is what they had with them. They took food on the ark. They knew how to store food, but you got to realize they'd been on the ark for over a year. So here they are. They've got the food that they had with them, whatever was left. And they also looked around, and just natural course of nature, I believe that the animals would have had offspring while they were on the ark. You've got chickens and lambs and calves, and so you'd have eggs and you'd have things like that. This is all they had. And here's something else I noticed. What is the first green thing that would come back to life? It'd be the herbs. That's the first thing. It takes a lot longer to grow a good juicy tomato than it does some parsley or something like that. The herbs would come first. So God told Noah here in chapter number 9, in verse number 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So that's what they had to choose from. And so God made an accommodation for them to be able to eat every living thing. And so Noah comes off the ark. That's what he had. God said, that's what you're going to eat, minus the blood. Don't eat the blood. Drink the blood. You know, it amazes me. People say, well, if something happens to the economy, I'll grow a garden. A lot of people don't realize how long it takes to grow a garden. Somebody said, well, I've got some survival seeds. What are you going to do for 6 to 9 months while your survival seeds are coming on? And going to make something. Better think ahead. What are you going to do until then? But this post-flood diet, this is how Abraham ate. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Israel, down in Egypt, that is the diet that they had to begin with. Look over in Genesis chapter 18. Now we're looking through all this because some would say the only thing you ought to eat is the Garden of Eden diet. That was original. That's what God made us for. And they would discount all the rest of this. But as I study the Bible more, I don't believe it's practical or possible to do that. Or even would be beneficial for everybody. But in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible said, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant. This is the Lord comes to visit Abraham. He comes to visit Abraham and tell Abraham what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. If we study this out, that's who it is. It's the Lord and two angels. But Abraham said in verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So what we find here in chapter number 18, they really had some pretty good food. If we study this out, they had bread, they had meat, they had butter, they had milk. It didn't take them long to figure out how to survive on what God said in Genesis chapter number 9. Didn't take mankind long to learn how to make a hamburger, make venison and things like this, and butter and milk, and so that's dairy products, and bread, which is made out of flour, and so they figured out how to get along pretty good. This is fast food in Abraham's day. Did you notice how they did it quickly, and they fetched it, and they dressed it, and they hurried up, and that was fast food in Abraham's day. But they had food, and this is what they ate. Now, this is what they ate until they got into the land. Leviticus chapter 11, go over there. It's in Leviticus chapter 11 that we find, and I'd never noticed this before, but I was studying again today in Exodus. God didn't give the Jewish people dietary laws while they were in the wilderness. It had been hard. And God fed them there. They had manna. They had quail. They had water. But in Leviticus chapter number 11, we find the diet under the law. Now, this is the third diet. And this is specifically to the Jewish people. Not the Gentile people, but the Jewish people. But in Leviticus chapter 11, we begin to read about the food. Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. And so up until this time, after the flood, God said every moving, living creature. But now there begins to be some restrictions on the diet of God's people. And if we were to take time to read all this, it is very specific what is outlined under the law. And basically it boils down to God said some animals are unclean for you, and some are clean. And we could probably mention several we already know tonight. We pretty much know that Jewish people do not eat pork. Pork was forbidden under the law. And there's many other things that are mentioned. Things that we eat and don't think anything of. Shrimp. Shellfish. That's a no-no under the law. That's an unclean animal. But they could eat locusts. So, if you find some locusts and you want to try it out, that's a clean beast, and just go ahead and you can have a bug sandwich. That'd be all right, according to the law, if we're talking about the law. And so there's guidelines that God gave. They couldn't eat camels. They could eat lamb and beef and... but no pork, no camels, no horses, rabbits. Read on down through there. It is several listed of the fowls. They could eat some things, but not other things. They couldn't eat a vulture. They couldn't eat a raven. You couldn't eat a crow. They couldn't eat an eagle. Things like that. It's interesting what God allowed them to eat and what God did not allow them to eat. But something about the law, God also gave guidelines for handling their food and preparing their food. They were to be clean in the handling of their food. Look in verse number 32. It said, "And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even, so it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel whereinto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and ye shall break it." And so God was very specific about how they handled their food, processed their food. They were to be clean in all of these things. But if we were to sum it all up, you go down to verse 46 and 47. We're quickly going through this. But he said in verse 46, "This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." And so God made a difference between the clean and the unclean animal, and even how they handled the animals which they did eat. And you can go to a grocery store today and you'll find that there's some foods that are labeled kosher. That's a Jewish word. And to be kosher means simply to be fit or allowed to be eat in the diet according to the Jewish dietary or ceremonial law. And so if you find something that is kosher, it's not only allowed under Leviticus chapter number 11, but they have handled that food differently than even what the USDA says how that it has to be handled. It's been several things. I don't even know all of it, but they've got certain guidelines to go by. And so the Jewish people, if they're strictly following the dietary guidelines, they won't eat anything that's not what they call kosher. It's got to be kosher. And Lester Roloff, he's one of the first preachers I ever remember that really preached on health and what the Bible says. He would not eat pork. And his reasoning behind that was, well, if God said not to do it to the Jews, must be a pretty good reason. Well, how are you going to argue against that? And so he wouldn't eat pork. Brother Freed, a missionary, came by last May, I believe it was. Of course, he's a saved Jew. He doesn't eat pork. And he was telling me that how that some of the brethren give him a hard time and always say, "Don't you want a ham biscuit?" And, you know, just kidding him about it, but he does not eat pork. And he said, "Would you eat a rat?" See, to him, it's just a nasty, unclean thing. That's the way he's been raised all of his life. Plus, he said, "How am I going to win a Orthodox Jew to the Lord if I'm not kosher? If I'm breaking what is an abomination unto them, how can I be a good witness to them?" So how are you going to argue against that? The Lord told them not to eat it. Must be a good reason. Well, we could study out about hogs, about shrimp. They're bottom feeders. They get all the trash off the bottom. Pork. But I'm not preaching not to eat it. I'm just saying, this is what the Bible says. God told them not to. Well, number four, there's diet under the dispensation of grace. Or under the New Testament, we might say. There's a another diet instituted over there. Acts chapter number 10. So God's people are under the law. They have dietary laws. There's specific things they can and cannot eat. This was never applied to the Gentile people. But I wouldn't say you would suffer if you ate like the Jews ate. This definitely could be categorized as more clean, a cleaner type of eating. Acts chapter number 10, this is where God told Peter to go down to Cornelius' house and preach the gospel to him. Of course, Peter's a Jew and Cornelius is a Gentile. In Acts chapter number 10, Peter has a vision from the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 10. And he became very hungry. Now he had went up onto the rooftop to pray. Verse 10, he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And they came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, I believe there's a twofold purpose in that vision. One was to teach Peter that the gospel was for the Gentile and the Jew alike. And so God told Peter, he said, "What I've cleansed, call that not common." And so he was trying to get into Peter's mind that the gospel was for the Gentile people as well, because he's going to preach to a Gentile person, Cornelius. If you read all of it when you get home. But also it's to remind Peter that the Jew is no longer under the law, because that Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, he fulfilled the law of God. And so the Jewish people, they're no longer under the law. There's no temple sacrifice. None of the things that they had been doing before, they're not under the law anymore. That would include the dietary law as well. And so this is a twofold purpose in this vision that Peter has. And some people, they say, "Well, that's not what that's talking about. That was just about going to the Jews. Didn't have anything to do with the food." You see, there are people that still try to live in the Garden of Eden. There are people that still try to live under the law as far as their diet is concerned. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about what's the New Testament teaching about our diet. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll read some verses, but we'll just start with verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And so that's a good verse. That's a good verse to live your life by, to memorize. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now what Paul's talking about in this passage of Scripture, he's talking about meat that is sold in the shambles or in the marketplace. If you look back in verse number 24. "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake." So what Paul's talking about here, these early Christians, they had a question. They had questions about their diet. And Paul said, "All right, whatever you buy in the marketplace down there," he said, "eat it, asking no question for conscience sake. But what their question was is that some of this meat had been offered unto idols, and that was bothering these young Christians. What about that meat? Can we eat that or shouldn't we eat that? Some people are eating it, some people are not. That's what he's talking about in this passage of Scripture. Verse number 28 said, "But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols." Paul said, "Eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So Paul said, if a Christian comes up to you and says, "Wait, don't eat that, it's been offered unto idols." Paul said, don't eat it. But not because it's any different than the rest. He said, don't eat it for that brother's sake. He's weak in the faith. That's going to cause him to stumble. That's going to cause him to trip. Don't eat it for his sake. Now, there's two things I want to point out in this passage of Scripture. Verse number 26, he's talking about eating here. Whatever's sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. And then verse 26 says, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." We're talking about what's to eat in the world. God said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And that same thing is said again in verse 28. He said, "But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So what's the Lord say here? The earth is the Lord's and everything out here. In under the New Testament, we're not under the Old Testament dietary laws. We're not bound by the Old Testament dietary laws. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, I was saying about this as I was studying about what the Bible says about our diet and eating. And the gospel is global. What I mean by that, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's nowhere in the world we are not to go with the gospel. We're to go from the north to the south, all the way around, all the different continents. We're to go everywhere with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people are not restricted to a regional diet. If we were, there would be some places we couldn't go. Now, you say, somebody would say, "Well, I think you ought to eat the Garden of Eden diet. I think you ought to eat just fresh fruits and vegetables all the time, and that would be the very best," and maybe it is. And if somebody wants to do that, that's fine. But if you do like I did and went to Alaska into the Arctic Circle, those people are not going to be able to eat a Garden of Eden diet. It's just not there. It's not going to happen. They don't even have a growing season. And a lot of places up north. So we've got to be able to go into all the world with the message of the Bible. And the message of the Bible is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And wherever you are in the world, God's good. God will save you. And God's giving you food to eat. You don't have to turn into a Jew. You don't have to turn into a vegetarian. You can enjoy the blessings of God and be healthy wherever you're at, because wherever you are, you will find that there's food that's God has prepared. But you couldn't find kosher food everywhere. And you couldn't follow a strict Jewish diet everywhere. So God's people, we do not live by dietary laws, but we are to live by Bible principles. Bible principles are always applicable. Now, look at verse 23, what Paul said. He said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." That'd be good to remember when it comes to our diet. Well, yes, all things are lawful for us. You can eat whatever you want, whenever you want, however much you want, but it's not expedient, is it? Say, preacher, I'd like to go on the Krispy Kreme donut diet. Boy, that would be good. But it wouldn't be expedient for you. It'd really make you sick after a while. So there's Bible principles we're to live by. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. That expedient word there, it means profitable. It's not just cause you all things are lawful doesn't mean all things are profitable to promote or to advance. Verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's how we ought to live our lives. Now there's a lot the Bible says about our diet, and this is just all by way of introduction. But I'll show you one more, and we're just going to go there and read the verse. But if I ask, you know, I've been saying the pre-flood diet, post-flood diet, dietary laws. Do you think the word diet is even in the Bible? How many thinks the word diet is in the Bible? How many thinks the word diet is not in the Bible? How many's already went to sleep? If you'd ask, and maybe I knew this and maybe I didn't, but as I was studying this, in my mind, I was thinking the word diet's not even in the Bible. But I thought I might ought to check myself, and you know what? The word diet is in the Bible. Two times the word diet is in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter number 52. And I'm just going to read this and I'll be done. This is where I'm going to pick up next week. But Jeremiah chapter 52, this is the fifth diet. And this is the one that most people are following today. And I'm going to call it the Babylonian diet. Babylon, it always represents the world and the things of the world. And this world economy, our food, all of it is infected by this Babylonian world system that is actually taking over the world. The New World Order is a Babylonian creation. And in Revelation chapter 18, God is going to destroy what? Babylon. Babylon. So this really was interesting to me when I found it. Jeremiah chapter 52 and verse number 34. And this is talking about King Jehoiakim. And he was raised up and actually brought into the household of the king of Babylon. And it says about King Jehoiakim, Jeremiah 52, verse 34. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. And I'm going to stop right there with that. But you say, well, what kind of diet are we eating in America? We're eating a Babylonian diet. And I want to show you that next week. There's a lot of spiritual truth in this passage of Scripture. But in America, we have it's called a standard American diet. Standard American diet. And that, the first words of that, just remember it like this. It's sad. Standard American diet. We have a sad diet. People are sick, getting sicker than they were a generation ago. All kinds of new diseases. It's not that our bodies have stopped working. We're feeding them a bunch of junk and it's killing us. A Babylonian diet. That's the fifth diet that we're going to jump off with right there. And then next week we'll look at that a little bit more in depth.